Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It's still Easter.
It's still Easter.
I don't think we can say that enough. It's still Easter. Yes, and it's been, I think, you know, one time I actually got to spend some time in New Zealand, and it was interesting. I was like, how do they do Easter here? Because it's winter right now. And so, you know, are not our hearts right now just filled with joy? I mean, I think this has been one of the most spectacular springs. This colors, I have tulips in my yard, which I call my own Easter eggs, and because of the cool weather, they've stayed longer. And it's this joy of this season that just seems contagious. It's just so the sky is blue and the world is that special spring green, and those clouds come across, and it's just impossible not to feel some joy in your heart, and especially if April is your birthday month. Today is my birthday. So I'm feeling a lot of joy, especially to spend it with St. Paul's, especially to spend it with those of you all who are being confirmed and received and doing a reaffirmation of faith. It's just a great day to celebrate, right? But April can also be a cruel month. Where's Fred Horton? Fred, is it T.S. Eliot that said April is the cruelest month? April can be a cruel month. April has some other anniversaries besides the birth of Anne Elliot Hodges. It has some other more painful anniversaries. The assassination of Martin Luther King. Columbine, Virginia Tech. We'd like to really put the bishop, really? Such a downer. It's confirmation. Why would you bring those things up? But see, here's the thing. That's part of the meaning of Easter. Resurrection means that we can look straight into the eye of death. We can look straight into the eyes of evil and claim victory. Claim victory. Resurrection means that those of us who want to follow Jesus into a new life, we will not be leaving the wounds of the old life behind, but we will not be prisoners of those wounds, of those fears, of those failures, of those betrayals. We will not be prisoners, but we will walk on in faith, and not just faith, with new life and with joy. And we'll walk with Jesus, even when he's hard to see, right? We've now been spending a couple of weeks here, and I'm guessing you're having Eucharist every day of the week and reading all the lectionary, but not all churches are doing that, and not everybody's getting there, so I'm going to review, just in case. Jesus is not, the resurrected Lord is just not always that easy to see. I mean, remember, Mary Magdalene at dawn had a hard time. The tomb is empty. She's devastated. She turns. She sees this gardener, shady character off, and, you know, does not even recognize who that is until she hears him call her name. And she knows it's Jesus. And then, of course, there's those disciples all hunkered down and locked up behind the closed doors for fear. I know it says for fear of the authorities. Secretly, I sort of wonder if they weren't just a little afraid that what they heard was true, that Jesus had come back and he wasn't going to be none too happy with them for running away. I'm just not entirely sure what those doors were locked about. And Jesus appears, and it's him, but it's not him. He's hard to see. He's hard to see. And then there's this, what John calls this morning, this third appearance, when the disciples, yes, they've seen, they've heard, they think it could be true, and they've kind of gone back to work. Like, oh, okay, resurrection, let's get back to work. And yet he has to come to them again. Jesus appears again and again, meeting people where they are, not waiting for the people to come to where he supposedly is, meeting people where they are. And then you have, we kind of took a big change this morning in the readings. These are still Jesus' appearances, but they're a little different, aren't they? Very dramatic. I think it's interesting to be at St. Paul's when we hear the lesson of Saul's conversion experience, the blinding light. So that it doesn't get much more dramatic than that, right? Saul, who has been persecuting the church. Saul, who's hunting down the people who dare to believe in the resurrection of the dead, already having begun in Jesus. Saul is hunting those people down, and then he has his own appearance. I mean, this is why when he hears the voice of Jesus, he doesn't actually see Jesus. I love that, right? He has to be blinded in order to see. I love how those things work. He's blinded in order to see with his heart. But in this story, I think there's something even more interesting. Maybe something a little closer to how you and I live. Maybe a little more like Ananias. We kind of pass over. I mean, maybe Ananias has been preached on frequently here. So just hear it again if you have to. I don't know, because I know there's incredible preaching here all the time. It's a little daunting to sit here with Fred Horton and Darby and Dixon and everybody. But Ananias, it's interesting, minding his own business. Now, we know he's a Christian. We know he's already, so we're not really hearing about his conversion experience. We're hearing his commissioning experience. He hears and talks to the Lord. And when he hears Jesus speak, what does he say? Here I am, Lord. And what does the risen Lord ask him to do? Ananias, I need you to go meet with this guy, Saul. You know, the one imprisoning, torturing, murdering, persecuting people like you. I need you to go meet with him. Ananias is not too happy about that. Ananias is like me. I want to plant my garden. I want to go to work, check my email, check in on the people I know. Are you sick? Are you hungry? But kind of do it in the most safest way possible. And the Lord, the risen Lord, speaks to him and sends him someplace he's afraid to go, but he has the trust and the faith to go. Ananias. Maybe this should be Ananias Sunday, where people like you and me who are really, really quite ordinary Christians who would like to follow Jesus as quietly and inconspicuously as possible. Okay, it's a little hard to talk about inconspicuous when you're wearing what I have on, but for the most part, except in the safety of our beautiful churches, we would just as soon keep it under wraps. We're Episcopalians, after all. Ananias. Maybe, I wonder if somewhere in that prayer we're going to read in just a few minutes when we baptize some folks, give them an inquiring and discerning heart and the courage to will and to persevere. Where are my baptism people? You're here, I know, you're here somewhere. The courage to will and to persevere. It's Courage Sunday, it's Commissioning Sunday. It's the Sunday that we remember, oh, ordinary people like me may have to do some extraordinarily sacrificial things, but I can do that. Not because I'm strong enough, but because God is. Maybe we're all like Saul, and we need to be converted from a fear-based life, right? There's a lot of people who are living a fear-based life, worshiping an elusive security, and sure, behind everybody who seems different has to be somebody scary and threatening. Maybe we need to be converted from a fear-based faith into a love-based faith, like Saul. And maybe we're Ananias, in need of being converted to seeing the extraordinary in an ordinary spring day, and the extraordinary in baptizing and confirming people who will dare to take on the costliness of discipleship. And maybe we're one of those beloved disciples who would just like to go back to work tomorrow, like those disciples in the gospel, who are pretty good at seeing Jesus in the distance. Yeah, that's the Lord over there. And pretty afraid of making a fool of ourselves by jumping out of the boat and running over and then finding out, oh, right, I love you, Lord, but I'm also the one that betrayed you. And then finding out, yeah, I know that about you. Nonetheless, you, imperfect you, Peter, whoever, I'm entrusting you to feed my sheep, to love my people. Three times, that's not a coincidence, three times, Peter is asked that question, do you love me? Be careful how you answer that question. Do you love Jesus? Jesus is ready to meet you wherever you are, whenever you need him, and especially when you need him most. We are weak, but he is strong. Jesus is present even when we can't see, can't recognize, hear it, or even believe it, because Jesus believes in us. That's why he died on the cross. And resurrection life is a life lived in community, a new community, a continually renewing community. And you have to be brave and courageous to live in a community like that. Because this community is also a movement, as Bishop Curry has said. We had called it Galilee for a long time. He keeps kind of changing the tune, the verses, but we know this tune. We know this tune. We have to be a people on the move, moving out into Winston-Salem, not just to do things for people, but to walk with them, as Jesus did on that road to Emmaus, and hear their story of despair and hopelessness and betrayal, and then connect our story to their story, and then find as we walk and talk and eat and bake bread together out there that Jesus appears among us in the breaking of the bread, and discovering that this community, the sum of the parts is, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. We can do this, but only together, only in baptism, joined together to God and to each other. The church becomes this larger community that always, 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 always welcomes you home. Are you the prodigal son? Welcome home. Are you the notorious sinner? Welcome home. Are you the selfish miser sitting on all the gold in the kingdom? Welcome home. Are you the despised government lackey? Welcome home. You who are weary, welcome home. Resurrection calls us out of death into life, out of complacency into action, out of complicity with the status quo, into companionship with the forgotten and the powerless. Resurrection calls us to take a new, radical, uncomfortable look at upward and downward mobility. Because when we lift high the cross, when we lift up our hearts to the Lord, when we take up our cry, Alleluia, Alleluia, well, the final question is, what are you willing to lay down? Your very life? Well, ask Peter, ask Paul, ask Ananias. Amen.